Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Let me read what will be our text. It's verses 13 to 15. It says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him." That's an amazing thought to me. That is such an amazing thought. Why was our Lord Jesus Christ baptized? Let's see if the Lord will let us single in on this question for just a second. Why was our Lord Jesus Christ baptized? The fact that he was, that ought to prove to us that baptism is not salvation. And I'm going to repeat that. All right? The fact that he was, the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, that ought to prove to us that baptism, the act of going underwater in baptism, is not salvation. Our Lord didn't need to be saved. He did not need to be saved. Our Lord came to save, not to be saved. So he was most definitely not baptized in order to be saved. Most definitely. Baptism is not salvation. People struggle with this, and I understand why. It's commanded. And we try to get our minds around this. We try to get our hearts around this. Baptism is not salvation. Going underwater is not salvation. It is not. Well, what is going underwater then? And why did our Lord do it? Why did he insist on doing it? Why was our Lord baptized? This scripture will answer that question for us. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now let me explain what that means and what baptism is. Baptism is an announcement of something. Baptism is a confession of something. And that announcement and confession is union with somebody. That's what it is. Just like a wedding ring. Just like a wedding ring. All right? When you see a wedding ring on somebody's finger, all right, you meet somebody, you look down at their left hand, and you see a wedding ring on their finger. When you see that wedding ring there, that wedding ring is an announcement. That's what it is. That wedding ring is an open confession of the fact that that person has been vitally joined together with somebody. That's what it is. That ring is not the actual love that joined them. And that ring is not the actual ceremony that joined them. But that ring is an open acknowledgement, an open announcement to everybody that love and commitment is here. And a covenant has taken place. That's what this says. A covenant has taken place in the past. A previous covenant has taken place. This ring says two have become one. One flesh, truly. One heart, one name, one home. That ring is an announcement of union. That's what baptism is. That's what baptism is. It's an announcement of union. When we are baptized in believer's baptism, we are announcing to everybody our union with Christ. That's what we're doing. This is what we're announcing. He loved me. That's what we're saying. He chose me. He paid the price for me. He bought me. I died being vitally joined to His death. When somebody, you see them go down, and that's what they're saying. I died and I was vitally joined to His death. And then they're there completely covered in the water. And they're saying, I was buried being vitally joined to His burial. And then they come back up and we're saying, I arose being vitally joined to His resurrection. What we're saying to everybody is, because He lives, I live. My life is in Him. That's what it's saying. My hope is in Him. My all is in Him. I willingly, happily, if I can use the word, proudly confess Him. I acknowledge Him. I plead Him. That's what we're saying in baptism. That's the reason God's people are baptized. It's because they want the whole world to know that they have been vitally joined with Christ. Vitally joined together with Christ. All right, well then back to our question. Why was Christ baptized? It's because He was confessing something. He had an announcement to make. He wanted the whole world to know that He had been vitally joined to His people. Now let's read these verses right here again. Hebrews 4 verse 14. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched. That means we have not a high priest which was not touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That's the announcement He made. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, verse 8, it says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." That's the announcement he made. Look right here at verse 5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant." The form of a servant, fulfilling the law for his people, fulfilling righteousness for his people, serving and doing for them what they could not do for themselves. Everything God required, he became a servant to do that for them. Verse 7 says, "He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." That's the announcement that he made. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." That word means atonement. That's our ministry, preaching atonement. "To know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Verse 21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." That's the announcement that he made. That's what he was confessing. His vital union to his people. He was made to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. So in our baptism, we are saying, "He loved me." We're announcing, "He loved me." In his baptism, he was saying, "I love them." In our baptism, we're saying, "He chose me and died for me and was buried for me and arose for me and lives for me." And in his baptism, he was saying, "I chose them and I will die for them. I'll be buried for them. I'll rise for them. I'll live for them." He did all that for us. Every bit of that for us. In our baptism, we're saying, "We're in him." Our life has been made to be in him. He's our life. His life is made to be our life. And in his baptism, he was saying, "I'm in them." You know, Christ in us is the hope of glory. And that's what he was saying. We say, "We're in him." And he was saying, "I'm in them. And their life has been made to be my life." We're saying his holiness and his righteousness has been applied to us. And he was saying, "Their sin and their judgment has been applied to me." In our baptism, we confess our union with him. And in his baptism, he confessed his vital union with us. When our Lord came to John the Baptist and said, "I want you to baptize me," and I understand John's response. I totally understand John's response. John said, "You want to confess union with me?" You know, all who came to John, it says over and over that they came confessing their sins. Well, this is what we are. This is what we are. And John, the Lord came to John. He said, "I want you to baptize me." And John said, "You want to confess union with this? You want to confess union with me?" And the Lord said to him, John said, "I need to confess union with you." But the Lord said to him, "Suffer it to be so. Do this." What he was saying is, if I don't confess my union with you, you have no union with me. If I don't confess my union with you, then you don't have a union with me. That's the very same thing the Lord told Peter. Look with me at John chapter 13. John 13, verse 1, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God." Now see if you can enter into the visual of this, all right? See what he's saying. It says, verse 4, "He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" Our Lord took his coat, his outer robe, whatever it was, off. And he took this big, huge towel and he girded himself with it. He didn't hold it in his hand. He wore it like an apron. He was wearing it. And Peter said, he started washing the feet of the disciples. And Peter said, "You're going to wash my feet? You're going to take my filth from the lowest part of me, the bottom of my feet. You're going to wear that on your... You're going to rub that all over you and stand up and be seen wearing all that filth on you? Coming off of me, me being clean now, off of me, onto you." Peter said, "Oh no, you're too high and you're too lofty and you're too holy for that." Verse 6, "Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." He said, "Peter, if I don't join myself to you, you will never be joined to me. If I don't join myself to your filth, you will never be joined to my purity." Verse 9, "Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Wash all of me." If that's the case, wash all of me. "Crown of my head to the sole of my foot, take everything that I am upon yourself." In his baptism, he confessed, "That's exactly what I came to do. This is exactly what I came to do. This right here is what his vital union to us meant for him. And then in return, what it means for us. Turn with me to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 1, it says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant," this is speaking of our Lord, "and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Why is that? It's because he joined himself to us. That's the reason. Verse 3, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." Why is that? It's because he joined himself to us. Verse 4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him." That's what his union to us brought to him. But this is what our union to him brought to us. The end of verse 5 says, "With his stripes we are healed." Totally healed. John said, "Lord, you're going to confess union with that? Everything that we're going to lay on you, you're going to confess union with sin, our sin?" The Lord said, "John, if I don't, you will never be able to confess union to my righteousness." Never. Never. My sinless holiness. If I don't confess union with your death, you'll never be able to confess union with my eternal life. Now look back at our text, Matthew 3. Verse 13 says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." That's a glorious statement. "Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." When our sin was dealt with and the judgment of our sin was carried out, that's the price that had to be paid. The wages of sin is death. Our Lord had to die the death of the cross. That was the price. When that happened, he by himself paid that price. By himself. But we were right there with him, in him, while he was paying that price. We were right there. He did it by himself, but we were right there with him, in him. And when his righteousness was earned, all that perfection, the scripture says he went about doing good. That's all he did was good. That's all he still does is good. Everything, every day, every event is good. And he earned holiness and perfection and righteousness. And when he did that, he earned it by himself. There's none good but God. But while he earned it, we were right there with him. Right there in him. While he fulfilled every bit of it, we were there. And because of that union, everything that was reckoned unto him was reckoned unto us. because of our vital union, everything that we earned was given to Him. All of our sin, all of our misery, all of our destruction, that was given to Him. Everything He earned, all of His holiness, righteousness, reward, inheritance, that was given to us. As soon as John realized that, the end of verse 15 says, then he suffered him. The Lord revealed that to John, and it says, then he suffered him. And I believe what that means is John ran as fast as he could into that river. I can see the Lord opening his eyes to that, and John, as fast as he could, running down into that river, saying, Lord, if that's what you're confessing, please, let's do it right now. Right now. I want to close with this, all right? I want to show you something that I believe is so beautiful to see about the actual moment that our Lord was baptized. We're going to end with this. I saw this. I've read the scripture many times, but I saw this a few years ago, not too long ago. And from the time that I have seen this, I've tried to show this to tried to remember to show it to every person who has asked to confess the Lord in believer's baptism. But turn with me over to Luke chapter 3. All right, Luke chapter 3. Verse 23 tells us that our Lord was about 30 years old when he was baptized, 30 years of age. And verse 21 says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened to him. Our Lord being baptized and praying, while he was being baptized, in that moment that he was being baptized, he was praying. And to me, that is special. That's a special moment. I believe that is a special moment to communicate with our God, with our Lord, with our Father. I believe in that very moment, and I'm saying this now in case any person hears this in the future. I'm now listening to messages that men have preached 30, 40 years ago on sermon audio. And if anybody ever hears this in the future who has a desire to confess the Lord Jesus Christ, vital union with Him, and they want to confess it in front of brethren and let everybody know this is my hope, my love, my life, my all. Just remember, knowing what that means, knowing what that is, knowing what it represents, what He did, that would be a wonderful moment to, in the quietness of your heart, as you're going down, say, thank you. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for joining yourself to me. Thank you for laying there for 3 days in that tomb for me. Thank you for rising for me. Thank you for living for me. Wonderful moment. Just a wonderful moment. Thinking about that makes me want to be baptized again. Makes me want to confess Him every day. I want to confess Him every day. Well, I pray the Lord will bless it. All right, you're dismissed.